Hello and welcome to Hacker Public Radio. This is our monthly review show, so we've got some news, some updates, and some of the behind the stuff info for you if you're not on the mailing list. I'm Pokey, but also here is Ken. Hey, Ken.
How's it going, everyone?
And 5150 is with us, too.
Howdy, folks.
And we've got Alden is then in the he's listening in, and that's cool. If anybody wants to pop in and listen to these while we record them, if people are a fan of live podcasts, that seems to be something that Mumble can handle. So you know, keep an eye out for that on the front page of HPR each month. Ken, where would you like to start?
Well, we're traditionally introduced the new host, I guess.
We got Digital Maniac from show 208. A big thanks to Digital Maniac for that. David Whitman, who's really ramping up things behind the scenes. It's hard to believe he's only done one show. He's done so much behind the scenes so far. Neo Dragon is new to HPR, though people will recognize him from Linux Basics. He's on a lot of those shows, and he contributes quite well over there as well. And the show... we have a new series now that's just started on HBR. Our first show was posted last Friday for that series. It is Zombie Panic, and apparently it's being credited to the Zombie Master. So Zombie Master is a new host as well. So thanks to all of our new hosts for the month of March.
Yeah, that's actually was one. I didn't know how to credit that, so I decided to create a generic... generic name for the host. Hopefully going forward we'll be able to have a little bit more granularity to take that into account. That is something that's on the wish list for the HPR scheduling system, and we'll be talking more about that later on as well.
Nice. 5150 is correcting me. What did I say?
Zombie Panic.
Oh, okay, and Zombie Circus is the name of the show. I apologize. Zombie Circus.
Yeah, if you're sort of combining it with the loosely affiliated show.
Everything's loose about those shows.
Very true. So I guess we should go into the show review before we get too far along. And we had the monthly show review. I want to thank you guys for doing an excellent job last month. And then we had episode... 937 by Riddlebox, How I Started with Linux, which is funny to be not his first show, but it was interesting show in itself.
Yeah, I like Riddlebox. He's fun to listen to.
Right, and he's becoming one of our more prolific contributors, so I'd like to congratulate him on that.
And the next day we had 5150 with cloning Wi-Fi profiles and installing Skype 64-bit Fedora. I personally...
Hey, I know that guy.
It's true, it's true. I actually found this one quite interesting. The most interesting part was the cloning the Wi-Fi profiles thing. And I just mentally, as I was listening to it, was going, must put that into the save that for later folder in my brain.
Yeah, I don't know why they give that 5150 guy a mic, but... It's taken me a month, but I finally submitted...
Speak up, speak up.
Okay, I finally submitted to Ken some updated show notes, so that the original HTML that I submitted, it dropped some of the details out of the command. So that's one of those shows where you probably, if you're going to do it yourself, you would want to refer back to the show notes rather than trying to type as fast as I talk, so those should be corrected. It was just the boldface and the italics that I used didn't translate.
You say yeah. You don't know why they give that guy a mic, but you'll be happy to know they didn't give him one today. I think he had to make it himself out of a box of matches and some pencil leads.
Is it that bad now? I thought we had it worked out.
No, it's okay if you remember. As long as you're speaking up, it's good. That is the one downside to podcasts, is you can't just cut and paste what you need out of them as easily as you can with text.
Well, there are so many things that, especially a month later, you know you heard it somewhere in a podcast, but by the time you need it, you forget which one it was.
I have that quite a lot, and that actually is why I'm making a concerted effort to ask people to put show notes together, because it's at least then searchable, whereas a lot of our audio is not searchable. So if you've got good show notes, at least Google and the rest of them will pick it up, and you'll have some chance of getting back to the show, finding the show.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. We should probably move on. It looks like show 939 was Sunday Morning Linux Review. Is their episode 21. It's probably their sixth or seventh one they've done for us, and they are quickly becoming one of the most popular shows on HBR. People really seem to like that one. And if you give it a listen, you'll quickly see why people like that one. It's a very, very good show. Show 940 was another one of our favorite hosts, Deep Geek, with Talk Geek to Me News. And this is a cut down version of his normal show, which is just the tech news. So if you want more Deep Geek, there is more Deep Geek for you on his own podcast. But I personally really appreciate what he does for HBR. He gets news items that I wouldn't begin to even know where to find, let alone ever hear about. So that's great stuff. Show 941 was Digital Maniac. As we had already stated, that was his first show. And this was a What Is In My Bag on portable apps. And that was really cool. That was a fun one to listen to.
I must say, I really enjoyed that one as well.
Well, somebody in the tech support business, that was one of my favorites and most useful of the month. I look forward into checking out that portable apps website so I can add that stuff to my bag as well.
Yeah, that portable app seemed to be all anyone could talk about maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And then I hadn't heard it mentioned since. And it sounds like that's because guys like Digital Maniac have got it sorted out and know exactly what to use it for. It sounds like a very specific and useful tool.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of basically every Windows admin knows about it. I personally like their tools because they're self-contained. So if you're on a Windows server, for instance, you can run them without interfering with the registry or whatever on a on the server. You go in, you do whatever it is that you need to do, and then you just delete the folder and all trace of that is gone, so you're not polluting the systems.
The BSD guys must love it because it's like their port systems. That's for you, Unix Clubhouse. That's there's your BSD mention.
Okay, and then the following day we had Zentail Linux Small Business Server. I had no idea about this, and I had a look at the video associated with it, and it looks like an amazing little business that somebody put together.
Yeah. Well, I forget what the old name was. That's one of those that they recently changed the name on the project, so that may be why you haven't seen it before, but there's a few of those server in a box sort of packages out there to be real handy. And look, as a little preview, when I should have been doing other things, I was banging around on that, trying to get a VM appliance from Zentail to run on my server earlier this week. I think I've got the VMware installed, but that and I think ZoneMinder I was playing with, neither one of them are. If you look at the VMware documentation, they pretty much say, well, get an appliance and run one line and Bob's your uncle, and they'll be up and running. And neither one that I tried fit in that nice, neat little package. They're both going to have to be hacked on a bit to make it work. But what I'm saying is, look for some time in the future, once I get worked out, for me to do an episode on VMware and appliances in general.
Seems like an excellent idea. That was called, I just had a quick Google here while we're, or actually quick DuckDuckGo. Doesn't roll off the tongue as easy, but I've switched to Ebox before, apparently.
Show 943 was Ahuka. Again, I think that might have been his second or third show, but it's certainly the second in his series of Freedom Is Not Free. And this one was on bugs and bug reporting. Bugs are a great topic. New people to Linux always, have questions about how to report bugs, but people have been around for a while, even, can sometimes forget, just to report bugs if you get to do it. So that was a good one too.
There's a really good how-to somewhere about, I'll try and put it in the show notes for this, about how to put in bugs. And I must say it's gotten so much easier with all the distributions having, you know, a help file a bug on this. I must have filed 3 or 4 bugs in the last few months. Well, added to bugs that already existed.
Cool. One of you guys better do this next one because I get too gushy whenever Dan's involved.
Yeah, just one second. And it was TR, and I must say this is, I'm really loving these episodes. And I found myself in work looking for an episode on, I was actually trying to do something with TR to do some translating, and I was beating my head against the wall, just like you were saying, 5150, trying to remember, what podcast was that now? What podcast? What did I hear? It was, I can remember it was Dan, and where could it have been? And I was searching and searching and searching, and then eventually, well, the first hit was Hacker Public Radio. Duh! But, yeah, excellent, excellent rundown. The videos are excellent. I think he can get enough listening to the show, but he's also got excellent show notes, and then the video is added on top of that. It's just really taking a topic and covering it just perfectly and clearly.
Well, it's not quite as bad as I've, a couple times I've seen Klaatu in the chat say that he's done a search on something and found out that he did a show on it for Bad Apples and forgotten he'd done it.
Classic, classic. Okay, the previous day was Talk Geek to Me as well, and excellent show again. And then the day before, we had a HPR interview by David Whitman with Carol Simons and John Banford. Sorry about that. And they were talking about the Linux Fest Northwest, which was which is coming up on April the 28th and 29th in Bellingham, Washington. So there's in the show notes of that is a complete list of topics. Did a great interview, covered it really nicely, and again, I really wish airfare to the US was a lot cheaper than it is.
Speaking of cheap, the Linux Fest Northwest is so cheap, it's free. So if you're anywhere near there and you know, don't go to Linux Fest because you're worried about the cash, that's a free fest. You can get in there. Admission is free. If you don't like going to free fests, if you'd like to pay, they do have a supporter pack that you can sign up for. I think their standard is $60 US, and you can get as an individual supporter. So, you know, make sure if you're anywhere near Bellingham, Washington, USA, in April 28th and 29th, get on up there and visit them. Check out the HPR table, grab a sticker, grab a business card, grab a pin, and help support HPR and help support Linux at these Linux Fests and meet some cool people.
I was fascinated. Apparently, this is the 13th year for Linux Fest Northwest, so that puts it way before a lot of the fests that we think of when we think of going to a Linux Fest. And because I don't believe I'd heard of it before last year, and it seems like they've just got an incredible science museum facility up there with a lot of things to see besides the hallway track and the speaker track and everything else that you normally associate with the fest.
I didn't know they had gone on so long until you just said it. That explains how they age some of those liquors for so long, those guys that are using Linux to brew beer and make liquor up there, which did I hear they had samples? I mean, we could probably talk all day about what's going on up there that we're missing out on.
No, you're making it worse for me.
Anyway, listen, if anybody skipped that show because they weren't going to Linux Fest Northwest, go back and listen to that show because it was interesting in and of itself. It's amazing how much these guys are pulling together for an event.
I must say, even though I know I'm not going to the shows, I still find these ones, you know, very interesting hearing what's happening in the community.
Cool. Well, maybe I'll be able to talk about Northeast Linux Fest a little bit later on in this podcast.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah, since I just got back from that. After that, the next one, I'm stealing this one from you, Ken. Show 947 was posted by Neo Dragon, but it was a presentation by Jared Smith at the Columbia area Linux user group. And I must say, Jared Smith was the Fedora project leader. And I must say, I'm not a Fedora user, but he almost had me convinced to give it a try. Jared Smith has got to be one of the nicest guys on the planet. He was just so cool to listen to. And I know there's been a lot of speculation that he left the Fedora project because of some sort of controversy or something that may have happened. But listening to that guy, I don't believe any of that could possibly be true.
I had exactly the same feeling, actually. Then the following day, we had Exchanging Data Podcast 2. This is DM Fries. I am loving this. I'm referring to this and I'm using this. But then that's probably because I enjoy XML, transferring XML and JSON.
I'm just hoping when he finishes with the website and the restaurant menu there that I can get some takeout, because if he does food any good as he does web programming, it's going to be good.
Right, listening to those podcasts make me wish my web foo was far enough along where I could actually join in and follow what he was saying. I look forward to getting to that point someday.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I only catch snippets of it that make sense, and when they do, it's pretty cool. You know, it's almost like listening to something in a different language, and more of the words make sense as the more you listen. It's pretty cool.
Okay, the following day was the CC Hits 2011 overview, which I put into the feed because it's, you know, a very good sample of the type of shows that you can expect on CC Hits. And I stole the show notes from Dave and Caroline over at the Bugcast, who has not only all the show notes in, but they've got links that when you click on it, you can vote on the show. So that is also a very good podcast if you haven't heard it yet. I'm going to be putting one of them on the syndicated Thursday shows. And because it was CC by SANC, we didn't have the regular intro and outro. So if that show just happened to appear in your queue, you know why.
CC Hits is a great project. I'm a big fan and I'm very vocal about CC Hits because I think it's a good thing, and it is a good way that we could, if we had enough people listening to the daily feed and actually voting on the music that they like, I think it really is a legitimate, maybe not exact replica, but at least a legitimate analogy of the pop music top 40 that all the civilians have to listen to. I think what we've got here is pretty good. It's going to be pretty good once people start participating. It's good now, but it certainly will be better when it hits the mark, I think.
Okay, I'm glad you put that in the feed, because that may be my favorite episode of the month. From that first song, it started making me question why, however infrequently, I'm still paying for music, and what I've had a little trouble finding anything that I like that's Creative Commons, and for that reason I really haven't participated in CC Hits, but that's certainly, after listening to that, I'm going to.
It's definitely a fantastic source, and I think I told John I'm around about 40-50% of the stuff I listen to, and if I listen, if I listen to that episode, there are songs in there that, while they're good songs, they're just not my taste, and I really don't like them. And then equally, the ones that I do like, I really do like. So it's, it's a very binary feeling about the songs in there. But we better move on.
Before we move on, one thing I did want to say is 5150, if you feel bad about not paying for music, a lot of these shows on CC Hits link back to Bandcamp, where you can donate to these guys.
Right, that's a very good point.
Coolio. And regardless of that, even if you donate a dollar to them, they'll get a larger percentage there than they will if they're a signed record label. So the previous day was Talk to Me News, and then we had Riddlebox again with the Roku XD review. Very interesting little device, and we don't have it over here. I wonder, do any of you guys have it? It seems really tiny.
I don't have one because I don't watch television.
Well, I would love to have one, but I don't have the bandwidth to really get video content from the internet. I wish I could. I do have an RPI coming, supposedly. Once I get that in place, that will probably satisfy that sort of need for me.
This might be a dumb question, but does the Roku need bandwidth? Can it not just cache the shows that you're looking for and like overnight or something?
No, it's live streaming.
I think you could put in a USB hard drive, but you'd be jumping through some more boxes. I haven't got it done, but because I've been downloading other things, but I really want to look into this new Google Play. I hate to patronize proprietary, but they do have the option, unlike most of the other streaming services, to download an entire movie ahead of time. So with my low bandwidth, but the ticking clock on it might run out before I ever get the movie downloaded, but I want to do that and report back to see if it actually works.
Okay. And the keeping on the home entertainment theme, the next day we had How I Cut the Cable Cord Part 2, looking at the Play On Server software, which used, in addition to his existing setup, to try and get more of his media through the internet streaming over the top, as we say in the industry.
Yeah, that was cool to hear. I was completely unaware that PlayOn did media. I thought they were just a gaming company.
Again, I'm a little bit out of this because none of this stuff is available over this side of the pond.
Yeah, I'm out of it.
Is that the same PlayOn?
I don't know if it's the same PlayOn or not. If it is, like I said, I wasn't aware that they did content too. And if it's not, I'm surprised that there's two companies in the tech sector with the same name. But I'm also out of this loop too, Ken, because all these boxes and and media stuff that people are talking about, you got to plug them into a television, and I haven't, I haven't even got a television. I haven't bothered getting one in years.
Okay, because Brock and Bob said that the PlayOn 2 was the service he was talking about required a Windows box, so I can't. It would surprise me that the same people do games on PlayOn Linux in another venue require Windows.
This was definitely a Windows device.
Okay. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. Not at all. And a reminder to HPR listeners that, yes, we're open to all operating systems and we're very diverse over here. So if it's of interest to hackers, send it on in.
Yeah, don't mind the dirty looks.
The following day was, again, Dan with episode 3. Of the cut command, and again, this is this one actually I was fairly, about 50% there on this one, as opposed to the other ones where I'm about 10% already know.
Yeah, I'm not even going to start talking about Dan because I'll never stop. He's just, I love listening to his shows. He's just so good at organizing what he's going to say and making sure he's got what appears to me, at least anyway, to be complete knowledge of the subject. And it's just, he's just really good at it.
And, this when he's got a new baby born in the house, keeping him awake in the middle of the night as well.
Yeah, and young girls, teenage girls running around, probably stressing him out just as much. Great kind of stress.
And I understand he's, he's got other stuff going on. It's good stuff for him. Probably don't want to steal thunder on that. So, keep them coming.
Okay, and then the following day we had Robin Gatling with the edited Full Circle podcast for HPR, and I'm really glad to see that Robin has given us a lot more of those shows, because when I got to the end of the last batch, I was getting a bit sad and depressed that we were not going to have any more. But this was actually a very good open mic discussion about Chromebook and the Chromebook OS. And the two guys, Ed and Dave, basically sat there, both side, both knowledgeable, both understanding the entire topic, and it was made me wish, like, I wish politics was discussed like this, or you know, other areas of interest to me. Clear, concise, good arguments.
Yeah, and people who could disagree on a subject without hating each other, that would be so nice to see in the real world.
Absolutely, yes.
And I thought that one was a lot of fun just to listen to. I was listening to that one while I was outside doing some work outdoors, and it was just, you know, it made some tedious task just a little bit more fun to do. And I still I haven't heard any confirmation or denial or any kind of debate whatsoever. I still got my money on Robin Catling as being the wing commander.
You know what? I think you're right. I heard him the other day, and it was just, duh, of course he's the wing commander.
Yeah, that's the way it was for me when it hit me. It just kind of clicked, like, oh, yeah, hey, I know that guy. He's on HPR. And, yeah, and after that, yesterday's show 955, not safe for work or family listening, unless your family's all well over the age of 18. In fact, go with 21 just to be safe.
Or it's culturally permissible in your country to allow children to listen to that type of show.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Zombie Circus was a heck of a lot of fun. And, boy, if if I could have been on a podcast panel, that's the one I would have liked to have been on.
It was great, and a real good laugh, and I really hope those guys do it on a more regular basis. We should put in a maybe a once-a-month slot for them, if they were up for that, or even more often.
Yeah, I thought that was the original working intention. On a... Sorry, 5150.
And the same guys, I think they're doing something called Dev Null as well that we need to look out for. That so Zombie Circus is on off days at KPO, or off weeks at KPO, and I'm not sure how they've worked Dev Null in there, but there should be some of those going around too. But now it was a month ago I listened to this, because I jumped on when Monster D posted it on his site in the first place.
Okay, cool. Now I get to correct you, because I think it's Dev Random. Is it Dev Random or Dev Null, the name of the other show?
You're absolutely right. It's Dev Random.
Are they releasing? They're releasing that on their own site, are they?
I haven't seen it anywhere yet. I know they've. I understand they've done one.
I thought one of the shows was supposed to be for HPR, and that I don't know. Maybe I understood it wrong, but I thought they were doing one for HPR. Exclusively, and we're going to wait till it hit the HPR feed before they post it on their own, but I could be totally wrong about that.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then somebody needs to get in touch with me and make sure that we reserve some sort of regular slot, or at least put in a slot so that they're not waiting a month for their show to come out.
Well, I didn't mean to, sorry, Ken, I didn't mean to imply that the Dev Random was intended for HPR. It's just I wanted to give them a plug.
No, I was saying that 5150. I thought I had heard them say, one of those guys, I thought I had heard one of those guys say that was their intention. But like I said, I could be totally wrong about that.
Okay, well, not to worry. Anyone listening who's involved in either of the shows, HPR is available. So email admin@hackpublicradio.org. Otherwise, you know, if you make a regular slot, then you don't have to be waiting all that time. We can just start saving out spaces in the queue right now. Shall we move on?
Yeah, let's do.
Okay, well, I got an email from a guy, Tuffin.com, saying if we would like to advertise in HPR. Anyone got any comments?
I wasn't even sure if this was real or spam. We get so much of that stuff that comes through the admin mailing list. I didn't know if it was for real or not.
Yeah, it seems pretty real, but I don't know. I think it's up to Stank, really, whatever he wants to do. He's the guy funding him and, you know, the BinRev. He's funding all the BinRev projects, and so I don't know. I don't particularly think so myself.
Yeah, I figured since I don't have, I don't contribute financially to HPR, I figured I didn't have a vote in this, so I would just, you know, whatever, that's up to him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd concur on that.
Yeah, fair enough. So the HPR site was down for a few hours on the 2nd of March. You probably didn't even notice it. Josh was on the ball. The entire data center went down, and the backup generators and everything wasn't out. So he was on top of that, and we didn't even miss a show posting. So I don't think it had any significant impact on anything.
No, by the time I got the email, the site was backed up, so I couldn't even confirm that it was down.
So then we had David Whitman, who's been doing a lot of stuff, actually. He's going to do the Linux Fest Northwest, and he put together some badges. Did you get any of those?
No, but I've seen the pictures of them, and they are very cool. And by badges, people in America will know them as pins or buttons. They're the actual buttons that you stick on your jacket. If you think back to 1989 and denim jackets, you'll remember them. But, you know, it's like a little circular badge with a safety pin on the back and a little, you know, like a plastic coating over it.
That's the ones, yeah. And he's going to be doing a table at the Linux Fest Northwest. Then on some sadder news, there was just came through the feeds there that the Helios project, Ken, has gone through some difficult times there. So if you've got a minute, just head on over to the Helios project. He's doing a lot for giving out PCs with Linux on them to disadvantaged kids. And he's fighting a good fight over there. So both your moral support and probably financial support probably wouldn't go too far. So the Helios project, we're all thinking of him and his family right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Not much to add to that.
Okay. Richard R.F. Quirin, as you know, I think you talked about it last month about the picture, the images. What did you think of them?
Well, yeah, it's definitely worth talking about again. I thought every single one of them was gold. My only problem was, you know, trying to pick a favorite.
I had... Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, picking one is going to be the problem.
Well, actually, I have no intention of picking one. I think they all are in, as I said, I emailed back to him, and, you know, the atomic sample makes a great logo. You know, I love the idea of the circle, you know, around HPR being the community around it, you know. The HPR02 samples are great wallpapers. And I like the idea, like, you got the logo and then you got a slogan. And I know we've had a slogan competition before, and we could continue to do that. So, you know, taking those wallpapers and personalizing it with your own HPR slogan, you know, life's like a box of chocolate, you know. And, then the atomic surround, ideal for a big t-shirt and perfect for banners and, you know, I believe you were also using that at the Northeast Linux Fest.
Yeah. I just picked the one that fit best on an 8.5 by 11 sheet, and I printed it onto one of those iron-on transfers, the same ones that I used on the t-shirts, and I put it on the banner, and it really it did a lot for the banner. It really dressed it up a lot.
How did that fest go? Shall we talk about that now?
You can talk about that whenever you like. That fest was an incredibly fun time. It was the difference between last year and this year was amazing. It was fun last year. It was informative. It was a great time last year, and it just got amped up this year. It was let me see, last year there was two tables out in the like the presentation area. There was one for KDE and one for this really great podcast. I can't remember the name of it right now. Oh yeah, Hacker Public Radio. Those were the two tables last year. And this year, same two tables were back, but we were joined by probably six other tables. We had Fedora was represented, OpenSUSE was represented, now I've started listing them and I'm gonna forget who they all were. Let's see. There was some corporate sponsors that really helped the fest out with money. So they were really, it was glad to see those folks there. There was a BSD table. There was Sky SQL, I believe was the name of the company, doing the MariaDB project. And I'm at the limit of recollection here. So yeah, there was probably four times as many tables as there were last year, and there were three times the number of attendees at the conference as there were last year. So it really, things are ramping up for that, and it was really good. The after party was fantastic. We the setup was better than it was last year as far as the after party. It wasn't ideal, but that's something being worked on behind the scenes too. And it was just so much fun. I didn't actually even get to see any of the talks because I was getting interviews all day long. And the sad part about my interviews is that my recorder decided to act up that day and do something it's never done before. And it really massacred my interviews, and it's taken me a long time to edit them because I'm having to really tweak a lot, and they still sound like crap even after I'm editing them, but they're completely unlistenable before I do that. So it's that was my one, you know, well, no, there was two. There were two things, two heartbreaks I had that day. One was my recordings turning out like crap, and the other is that at the after party or at some point, what I had meant to do was get as many people as I could in a group to say, congratulations, HPR, on 1,000 episodes for 5150's epic project.
That would have been nice. That would have been nice.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You thought it was.
I failed. I completely forgot to do it. We got so wrapped up in, you know, talking to people, that talking to each other, meeting people I'd never met before, that it when it came time to do it, I just missed the opportunity, you know, and I'm really, you know, I really feel horrible for missing that. So if anybody else at another Linux Fest or another gathering has the opportunity, that would be really great.
Well, I guess we'll have a table at Northwest, so that might be something that those guys are listening, pass along to them, grab a few people, and if they don't know what Hacker Public Radio is, then explain it to them and get them to record a tilt-like congratulations and opening intro. But don't feel bad, Pokey, because I've been procrastinating all month trying to get some other stuff done, and I've made absolutely no progress on my project. We'll get to that because I'm sure you've got some more NELF stuff to tell us.
Yeah, not really. I mean, that was pretty much it. I at least this year, I at least remembered to ask people to sign our banner, so we've got some more, you know, autographs on there from people who have contributed to HPR and people I interviewed. I got to sign it. So at least I remember to do that. That was pretty great. We had more guys this year, doing the HPR table than we had last year. There were people watching the table all day. Not watching the table, but, you know, there to talk to people about HPR, which freed me up to get some interviews, you know, more than I was able to get last year. And like I said, I am working on them. When you hear them, you'll understand why I'm apologizing for the sound quality. But, you know, it just, everybody just had such a great time. We got some pictures. I didn't take a lot of pictures, but we got a couple. They were posted. Ken posted them for us to the Henry Patrick Riley G Plus page, if people are interested in that. And the NELF guys, even stuck the picture up on their front page at northeastlinuxfest.org. That was pretty cool. They put our picture right up at the top. So thanks to them for that.
Yeah, you stole my thunder there. I was going to say that apparently the HPR table was the star of the show, because if you go to Northeast Linux Fest page, the first thing you see is you, Pokey, and the aforementioned Dan Fry, and NY Bill with out his monkey suit, one of the few pictures like that. That will make sense to the people on the...
And sadly, without any of his guns.
Right, but that'll make sense to the guys on Linux Outlaws forum and Brome. You don't want to forget him.
Yep, Brome was there, and if you know him from G Plus or anything, he was there without his pie in the face, which was also kind of sad.
I'm really sorry I missed it, but there you go.
Yeah, Brome actually, he flew in from out of state, and he came and stayed with me on Friday night. I picked him up from the airport. And we went to the shooting range on Friday, right from the airport, and we had a blast over there. If you'll excuse the pun, that wasn't intentional. And but he was worried a little bit, not terribly, but he was a little worried all weekend long that there might be some gunpowder left on his jacket or something for when he went through the groping at the airport. But he made it through okay, and he made it home safely. And as far as I know, everyone made it home safely, and I'm you know, was pleased to hear all that.
I find, sorry, just, you mentioned the groping there at the airport. I find that quite funny. Well, not funny, haha, but It's definitely a cultural thing that you Americans seem to have, is that pat down thing at the airports. We have had that since I think airports started. You know, you would walk through the metal detector and get the pat down thing. So it's part and parcel of flight for years here.
Let me tell you something, just in defense of the you Americans thing. This is the American government doing this nonsense. This is not us. We the people do not like any of this, and we're being taken down a road that nobody wants to go down, and it's going to end real ugly. The way that it's going now. Oops, all the heat up there. The way that it's going now is the way that other oppressive governments have come into power in the past, and it's getting worse and worse, and none of us like it. But that's me on my political soapbox. I will step back down off of that.
No, I wasn't making a political point. I was making a point that being patted down at an airport is, you know, has been common practice for years. And well before the 9/11 thing, I remember the first time I went to the States, I was shocked that, you know, you could just walk up to an airport gate and just buy a ticket and walk onto the plane. It was shocking to me at the time, because we had our own element of, you know, flights from Ireland to England weren't exactly during the 1980s weren't exactly wasn't that easy to get on them either, you know.
Yeah, but and the thing is, if it were just a pat down like you're saying, I could understand it. It'd be one thing, but they've got these millimeter wave scanners that, you know, are irradiating people, and even the people working for the TSA aren't allowed to wear dosimetry to investigate how much radiation they're getting. The machines don't work. People aren't properly trained. Nobody doing this. It's not consistent from airport to airport. It's all complete nonsense. You have to opt out of the radiation even to get the groping, you know, because otherwise they just zap you. But yeah.
I recommend anybody who's interested in this topic to listen to Bruce Schneier's Schneier on Security. Go over and subscribe to his stuff. He has some very nice breakdowns on what he calls security theater. But anyway,
podcast?
No, he has a blog, and he did a TED talk as well, which is of, you know, very interesting. You know, but I feel like I'm not allowed. I wouldn't possibly comment on what you do in the US, as I'm not a US citizen. I'm just making the point that even before 9/11, there was some famous singer got patted down in Heathrow, and there was a big CNN discussion about how their privacy was violated. So I just find it kind of interesting.
Yeah, I definitely second Bruce Schneier. I didn't realize he had done a TED Talk, but he often talks about security theater, which is kind of what Pokey was getting at, is that it is security theater. I realize a lot of other countries, like you mentioned, Ireland, may do the pat-downs. And, you know, security is a funny thing. You can think you're doing it right, and you're not. You're just kind of making yourself feel better. But one thing I've heard mentioned is that countries like Israel don't do all that sort of stuff, and they're definitely one of the more security-minded countries, I'll put it that way.
Well, I think Ken's point was kind of 10 years ago, we got this wake-up call and welcome to how things are in the rest of the world, that we're used to being very isolated and insulated over here, and, you know, we just sort of got our dream state broken into 10 years ago.
I'm not going any further down this rabbit hole.
Super. Sorry for bringing that up. But, yes. Where are we? Are you finished with the Northeast Linux Fest?
Yeah, I think that's it. Just the talks, however, the talks for the Northeast Linux Fest were all recorded. They were all posted immediately to the Frostcast feed. And so if you need them right away, they're over there. But Jonathan Nadu of Frostcast and of the Northeast Linux Fest, he had asked me if I could also basically grab them from his website, strip the Frostcast music off, put the HPR music on, and post them to HPR. So we've got those done. Those are ready to go. They're in our syndicated queue, and we're bumping one of them ahead to next Thursday, because while it is still syndicated, it is also still of timely consequence with what is going to happen here. We've got an issue with the Orca project. Apparently, they are in pretty desperate need of coders and of some help with that project. So, you know, Ken and I discussed this, and we decided that it was of timely consequence. So we're gonna just bump that one ahead in our Thursday feed.
Very good. And in relation to, we put a call out there some time ago for people to assist with the events. And Jason Bowles from contacted me via Google Plus and has offered to be our event coordinator for that.
And right on, Jason. If I could hold push to talk and clap at the same time, you'd get a round of applause from me.
Absolutely. I don't know particularly what I had in mind. Yeah, I was the one who asked for this. Don't know particularly what I had in mind for this, but I think you know, keeping some sort of text file somewhere of, you know, upcoming events and popping it on the FTP server perhaps, and seeing how we're covered. Are people going to be going to the events, HPR people? Will there be a booth? Will there be somebody doing interviews or both? So that sort of thing, I think, is of interest.
Yeah, I mean, and it's totally fair. I think part of the reason why, you know, we had even asked for an events coordinator, put the call out, because that was another thing we discussed before we recorded that last show. But the reason why we put that call out is because we weren't quite sure what to do with events. And, you know, it was obvious that we weren't handling them as well as could be. So, you know, we just needed someone to step into that role and think about it, because we weren't really coming up with much.
Yeah, as can be seen by our events second this month.
Yeah, Ken, do you have an email set up for the events coordinator or something like events@hackerpublicradio.org?
That is a fantastic idea. And basically, I will do whatever it is that the events coordinator wants me to do. Okay, we have the resources of HBR available here, but that seems like the first logical step, actually.
Because I saw someone lamenting in Hashogcast Planet earlier this week that actually they had a problem with our 3040 show queue, that they couldn't get in an announcement and have it aired. I suggested if they had an announcement to make, they send it to the admin at hackerpublicradio.org account, and we could get it in at least in this monthly review show.
Now, if it's important enough, we can bump the show. That's not a problem. That's covered by rule number one. And worst case scenario is if somebody has something really important that needs to go out on a particular day and somebody has reserved that day, it's no bother at all for me to record whatever it is and put it at the beginning of the show to go out on that day. I don't think anyone would mind that at all.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sorry, Ken. I didn't mean that they wanted a show bumped up. They were wanting something like a promo added to the show.
Yeah, that's what Ken was saying. If you want to record a promo, or if you want to record a quick little you know, news blip or something for an important event, we can just tack it on to the beginning of the show that's going to air that day anyway. We don't have to bump a whole show if it's only a 30-second thing or a short thing that you just need added on there real quick.
Makes sense.
That should work.
Yeah, because we've done it before, I believe. We've done it several times.
Yeah, we can do it. It's probably a bit more work, but and it also, I would prefer if we were doing a particular show about it and we have enough time. Obviously, if people have enough time, there's an event coming up, then we can schedule it nicely into the queue. But if it's something that has come up out of the blue, then yeah, we can do it. We can either bump a show up, or we can edit somebody's show and add it to the front. I presume people don't mind that sort of thing.
No, right. And if you don't want to do a whole show about it yourself, but you want to get the event publicized, give the events people a call and ask them if you can interview them. And then you just basically let them talk and ask them a couple of questions. It's a real easy way to get something like that done if you wanted to take the time of a whole show. Real similar to what was done for the Northwest, Linux Fest Northwest, you know.
Absolutely cool. Speaking of upcoming events, we have OGCamp is on the 18th to the 19th of August, and it turns out I won't be able to go.
Oh, that really stinks. That's sad to hear. Yeah, you should get to. I have a couple events on my notes here, Ken, that come up before that.
Fire ahead.
Okay, so April 13th, 14th, and 15th is the Indiana Linux Fest. Please see IndianaLinuxFest.org for information on that. On April 28th and 29th is the Linux Fest Northwest, and that is LinuxFestNorthwest.org. And please see David Whitman on our message boards or on Google+. If you want to help out with an HBR table there. And I think we're still looking for someone to do an HBR table at Indiana Linux Fest. And then on September 28th, 29th, and 30th is the Ohio Linux Fest, ohiolinux.org. And they have a call for talks out right now. I don't think they've selected any of their talks yet. So if you want to do a talk at that fest or you want to do a table, that's coming up then. And when did you say OggCamp was?
The 18th and 19th of August in Liverpool, United Kingdom.
And I caught the latest Linux Outlaws yesterday. I listened to it yesterday. Apparently by that time it may no longer be Fest. They're considering if they should... I guess that name has been confusing people, and they're considering whether they should pick a new name.
Well, you caught the last but one Linux Outlaws then, because the very latest one that just came out said they are sticking with the name. They had considered it. What they had said was if they were going to change it, now was the time to change it. So they needed to do some considering real quick. And apparently they did consider, they did think about it, and they did decide to stick with the name.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I think that's been established the past 3 years. That way people know going forward what it is everybody's talking about.
Yeah, I liked the name too, or like the name too. That's one fest that I wish I could get to if I were going to travel internationally. I'd love to get there. That's right up there on the list.
Yeah, I was thinking I could save up and go to a fest in the US next year, but then I did a quick DuckDuckGo. That doesn't sound right. Google search is better. A quick...
Well, DuckDuckGo uses Google, so it's fine.
Now they use Bing.
Oh, and the one event I know of that I don't know when it is because it's not on my list here, Southeast Linux Fest is coming up. So go ahead and do a quick search for Southeast Linux Fest and find out when that is. That's going to be in...
June 8th, 10th in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's why I tripped over OggCamp, because I was bringing that up in another browser window.
Yeah. Right on, good move.
Excellent. And speaking of the Southeast Linux Fest, Dave Yates has resurfaced and is in fine health, but will be taking a little bit of a backseat. But I think a lot of people were a bit concerned about him. And from what I understand from his Google Plus post, that he's okay and just needed some time away.
Yeah, he's been in OggCamp Clinic quite a bit, and he's just a trip as always.
Oh man, I'm glad to hear that. I haven't had much of a chance to be near a computer during normal business hours in the last couple of weeks, so I missed that news. I'm glad to hear it. Thank you.
Okay, and actually speaking of apologies, I'd like to kind of apologize to everybody. I've been slacking off this month a little bit. I put my back out, so I've been in a little bit of pain. I haven't got back to... about the logos. To Richard RF Quirin about the logos or anything. So if you haven't heard from me, or if you thought I was going to do stuff, normally I put more of an effort into the show notes. So this month I've been just basically posting shows, going to work, coming home.
That's fine, Ken. We know you do a whole lot. A couple of times today I've said we do this at HBR and we do that at HBR. And really what I mean by that is Ken has done. We know you do an awful lot. And we try to make less work for you, but you just take on so much.
I just want to say if people could give some feedback on to the show notes, that would be fantastic. Feedback on the on the images and stuff to, you know, directly shout over on Google Plus to RF Quirin and just tell them what you think about the logos, which ones you like. God forbid you think that they can be improved. Personally, I don't. Every time it comes out with a new one, I think, wow, even better. Just as good, only better. I'd like to talk about episode 1024, if I could.
Right ahead, and then I'll chime in when you're ready.
We're now on episode 956. This is 956, folks, so the clock is ticking. It only seems like 50 episodes, a few episodes ago, and it's actually been 50 episodes since we've been talking about this last. So we need to, what I'd like you all to do is just record. My name is Blah, and I listen to Hacker Public Radio. Congratulations on your episode 1000. And send it in to the show at EP1K, that's Echo, Papa, the numeral 1, and the letter K, Epic, EP1K, at hackerpublicradio.org. If you can't remember that, admin@hackerpublicradio.org. If you can't remember that...
HPR@hackerpublicradio.org.
Well, that's not going to work because that will bounce back because it won't be a member of the list. So then you need to join the list.
So people can join the mailing list and get involved.
Exactly. But if they can't remember EP1C1K, then I think we're in big trouble.
So but anyway, yes, here folks. Here in the States, Ken, we call it crunch time. It is crunch time. If you're going to get in, it's time to do it. If you're not going to get in, it's time to reconsider and do it.
I really want every single listener to send me in a quick recording. My name is Blah. I've been listening since episode Blah. My name is Blah. Or just a quick 30 second, no more message, between 10 and 30 seconds. My name is, I'm listening somewhere else, and, you know, some best wishes. It'd be great.
And this is a perfect use if you do not have a microphone or another recording device. This is a perfect use for the call-in line. Just please remember to hit the pound sign when you're done recording, or else the recording will be lost.
And I'd also like to invite the members of other podcasts, if they would like to record a greeting, to put that in there as well.
I think it might be no harm now to send out a quick email and around to people as well. It'd be no harm if you know any celebrities or anything to have them record a show, even if we all know they don't. You know, somebody who has Linus Torvalds' hotline, get them to record something for us. It'd be a blast.
Yeah, really. And I mean, and for the listeners too, if you're members of other communities as well, you know, and those folks over there know of HPR, have heard HPR, go ahead and ask those show hosts, you know, to record a little something for us and get it in. You know, I'm going to put the Linux Outlaws on the spot here. And I say, I've heard them a couple of times say that they need to do something for HPR, you know, that's, you know, their own words. So I'm going to put them on the spot and put their own words back at them. And, you know, Fab and Dan, we'd like to hear from you guys. We want something we can throw in our epic show here. And that's a good start, I think.
I think we really need to contact people, because not everybody listens to every show on the time. I mean, just one thing I wanted to do, let you know how many people you asked me during the week, I think as part of the information you were given out at the booth, how many people listen to the show. And it's roughly, we have about 6,000, I think, 6,000 people listen every day to the show. And if you put that into context, that's more, 50% more again than all the people who attend FOSDEM, one of the biggest European meetups, over an entire 3-day period. So, you know, in one day we have, the equivalent. We have more people listening to HPR in a day. So it's a massive audience. But remember as well that it's roughly about 50% of the people on any given day who downloads the show, and then over time, the other show, you know, the rest of the shows are downloaded also that day. So
that number was just astonishing to me, because if I remember correctly from your slides that you did at Og Camp, and I don't know if it was the last Og Camp or the one before, but at that time it was roughly 1,500, I think, or something somewhere thereabouts, maybe 1,500 people or downloads per day. And to jump to 6,000 since then means, you know, folks, people who contributed, you're really doing a great job at this. You've really made a difference, that a measurable difference, and there it is.
Yeah, and I want to take this opportunity to apologize. I really haven't made much progress on this project in the past month. We discussed last month that maybe by this show I would have arranged for the test of Thor's Mumble server, because he invited everybody to try to come on all at once on a Linux Basics podcast. And I didn't realize episode 100 was coming up. It was just last night, I believe, the number 100 Linux Basics. And we really should have tried to celebrate that by trying to knock Door Server offline. But I'm gonna get in contact with him because he wanted a couple weeks lead time, if he hadn't already done it, to increase the maximum number of connections on his Mumble server. It was something he was going to do anyway, so it wasn't an additional expense just for us. But definitely by the next monthly review, I'll have that arranged. If we set it up in the meantime, I'm sure Ken can throw up a banner on hackerpublicradio.org. So I'll just say now, watch this space. And again, if you've been waiting for an email from me to be invited to episode 10.4, the panel discussion on the origins of HPR and today with the techie and Radio Free America and VinRev, bring everybody back together. I've slacked off on that too, so I need to get back on the stick and track down emails for everybody involved in so if you thought you missed out on your invitation, because I haven't got to it yet.
And I just want to also apologize to all the guys on the dev list. So there's a dev list, dev@hackerpublicradio.org. Feel free to join that. And this is about the Hacker Public Radio scheduling system. And I actually think that's a terrible name, and we're looking for a new name, because what I think we want to do, what I want to do here, is make an application that's modular, that can be used by anybody. So not only by people trying to recreate a community podcast network, but make it usable so that even somebody who, you know, wants to start off their own feeds, start off their own podcasting, you know, setup, that they can do an apt-get install, whatever, HSS or whatever it is. And then everything that they need to do is there. They just dump a file into a directory, fill out a web form, and then press publish, and it gets all done for them. So that would be cool. The guys, a lot of people expressed a lot of interest in it, and I really appreciate everybody. And I do apologize. We had a meeting scheduled, and I just simply could not stand without painkillers. So we postponed that. I'll probably schedule that for next Saturday, more or less around the same time. So that will be, there will be a button up on the front of the website showing when the event is on. It's World Time Buddy, and it'll give the time in UTC and in your time as well.
I have breaking news. May I interrupt this podcast to spit some news at you guys?
Please do.
Okay, and this is good news too. This is actually great news. I just got the word over email while we were talking from Bruce Patterson. Next year's Northeast Linux Fest is going to be combined with next year's Libra Planet event. So what that means is, for all the people who came into Northeast Linux Fest and discovered that Libra Planet was the next week and that they were going to have to miss one, or for all the people who went to Libra Planet and found they missed out on the Northeast Linux Fest, they're combining the two events into one event next year. So it's going to be, I think, greater than the sum of its parts. This is something that that a lot of people were lamenting at the times, that they were going to, that they were having to pick one over the other. So that is great.
You might want to tell everybody what Libra Planet is.
Well, okay, but I just want to say before you do that, I am proposing the name Northeast Libra Fest. That's what I want to see.
Ogcamp, U.S.
That's another good one. Well, yeah, but it's not just podcasts though, or Ogcasts. It's
true for you.
Okay, go ahead.
But then again, Ogcamp isn't also more than just Linux. And
Libra Planet. Hence the naming controversy.
Exactly. What is Libra Planet?
Libra Planet is an event that has gone on at least for 2 years that I know of. I don't even know how long it's been going on. It's the probably the most under-promoted event in the Linux world, and a lot of people hear about it and go, "Wow, that sounds great. When is it?" Oh, last week. Darn, because it just doesn't seem to get much publicity. But it is an event put on by the Free Software Foundation, and it's usually held in Boston. I believe it has been every time. I'm not real sure about the details. And they did it this year, and I was not able to attend because I didn't have the time. Even though it was in driving distance, I couldn't make it. Couldn't get that much more time off from my schedule. But they had speakers this year that were just mind-blowing. They had Richard Stallman. They had John Hall, Mad Dog, people know him as. Who else was there? Karen and Bradley were there from Freeze and Freedom. I mean, that would have been they're a couple of my podcast heroes too. I can't even remember all the great people they had, but fantastic stuff.
Ooh, fantastic. You know, I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just as we're doing this, I'm on KLM's site looking to see how much a flight would be.
Boy, yeah, now I'm even doubly excited for next year's Northeast Linux Fest. And this could be the first time that we've actually broken news on HPR. So I feel like a real reporter now.
I just wanted to say, Ken, do you feel about the American Linux Fest? I feel about Ogcamp. I would just love to make it there one day, but it's just I don't think it's going to happen. I was scrambling here while you guys were talking because I should have had this prepared. And I announced this last month, but I wanted to bring it up again. The celebrations that we're going to do for episode 1000, that's where all the well wishes. And if you have if you can't be on 1024, if you had a little short story, we don't want to go on 8, 12 hours because we've done that once this year already. But if we stick to the 5-episode-a-week release schedule, then episode 1000 will fall on Friday, the 1st of June. And then the next month, episode 1024, which will be pre-recorded, it won't be live, will fall on the 5th of July, the day after Independence Day.
That's our Independence Day here in the States for everybody else who may have a different Independence Day or may not be independent.
And the answer is 850 euros.
That's like $2,500 in American currency, I think. That's ridiculous.
And don't forget, once you get here, gas is going to be $5 a gallon to get around.
Wow, it's already that now.
I looked into driving down to the Southeast Linux Fest because that's the one I'd really like to get to this year for meeting people, because it seems like everybody, at least everybody from Ogcast Planet is going to be there. And driving down and back was like $400 worth of gas at $4 a gallon. And I'm sure it'll be more than that by then. And we looked into flying down, and it's a round trip from here to there is like $137 a piece. It's crazy that you can fly for cheaper than you can drive.
It's about $1,121. But anyway, so obviously I'm not going, but there you are. Would be nice. Every single time, like a fool, I check. I think we're done, folks. What would be nice is, I don't know if we were ever referenced in magazines or publications before. I know we were referenced in Linux Format last year. But if anyone has ever edited a Wikipedia page, it would be nice to have a HPR page no pressure. We can't obviously do it ourselves, but if there was somebody listening to the show who's done Wikipedia pages, it would really be nice to have some sort of entry up there before episode 1000, because hey, this is, I think it's justified to have a page for HBR.
Brilliant.
Well, I tried to get us on Urban Dictionary, but about a month ago,
that's not the same
and
thing.
And they didn't take it, so.
Why wouldn't they take us from Urban Dictionary?
I guess maybe we're not edgy enough. We're not slang, but I think Tilton's on there. But I submitted
we're
it,
not
and I never got anything back to my email, so I assume we're not there.
They took episode 69 and threw the rest out.
Okay, let's not start that again. I am all out of topics, guys, so if you don't have anything else, or if you do.
Well,
that was everything
you
I had.
Did skip over that one thing right before episode 1024 in the notes, and that's kind of what Pokey just kind of hit on. Do we want to talk about that, or do we want to leave that for a different time?
Well, that was something from last week, but last month, if I just did a copy and paste. Which, the HBR vetting policy, or should we release at weekends?
Yeah, the HBR vetting policy. The only thing I brought up there, and I'm not sure, because I don't want to get into personalities or criticizing a particular episode. It's just that we can cut this out maybe if it's not appropriate, but I did have criticism of one particular episode from last month come up in Oddcast Planet. Somebody had a particular problem with it, so I didn't know if that was if it was on the venue. If it's not, I'm satisfied just leaving it alone.
Yeah, I wasn't. I'm not aware of anything about any of the episodes, and to be honest, the way to deal with that is to record your own show. You can also comment in the comments for the episodes if you have a contrary opinion, but the best way to if you have a problem with any of the episodes is to submit your own show. And I just want to make it absolutely clear here, there is no vetting. If somebody doesn't like any of the shows on or feels that there's a bias one way or the other, then obviously the thing to do is record your own show and put it in, and there will be equally no vetting of your show. So the only thing that we do, and you see the script on there, is 7 seconds in, we check the audio quality, and if it's a new host, we'll probably jump 14 seconds and 21 seconds, just to make sure that there's a mention of something techie in there. If there is, that's it. Press yes. Is the show acceptable? And it goes next. Is the intro done? Is the outro done? Yes, yes. And then it transcodes it, and it gets sent up. If I or anybody else started vetting the shows, then this is a community podcast. All we're doing is offering I'm doing, and everybody here on this is we are just peers like everybody else. We're hosts with show numbers, and that's it. We have no right to say what goes on the network and no right to say what doesn't go on the network. Obviously, if somebody put on some movie content or something that was of particular problem to their IAA or whatever, they'd do a takedown notice, and I guess we'd take it down at that point. But 50-50, I don't know what you're talking about, so I'm just giving a generic, if I happen to stumble upon whatever it was, I don't know any details of the complaint, but that's just my general feeling. There is no vetting policy, one way or the other.
Yeah, we can. I didn't hear it either, but I don't feel the need to hear it on the recording either. So,
I'm satisfied by that, then. I don't have a problem.
Cool. Then I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the show, who's listened to all this way through. It's been one of our longer monthly wrap-up shows. Thanks to Ken and 50. For joining me on this and for letting me join them on this, because it's like Ken said, we're all peers here. We're all part of the same community. And even thanks to Alden and Zen for listening in and piping up when we needed him for that. That was pretty great. Just goes to show you anything can happen on HBR. So thanks everyone for listening, and have a great month.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.